Well, we like to, in each of our services, have a chance to open up the Bible together and have a chance to see what God wants to say to us through it. So if you do have a Bible, do open it. If you don't worry. Wendy and Pauline and Pete and others got Bibles they can pass around. And we're going to look at a story that I've been drawn to in Luke chapter 7. So if you don't have a Bible, then just do grab one or put up your hand. Just raise your hand up in the air. They're bringing them right now. And turn to page 1037. To the end of Luke chapter 7. We've just finished a series looking at the Psalms in the morning, and we're just about to start next week a series looking at Hebrews and seeing more about Jesus and how he's the best word that God's ever spoken. But today we're just celebrating forgiveness, because you've heard so many people talking about that as they give their testimonies, as they answer these questions, and forgiveness is wonderful. To be forgiven. And so we're going to look and see a story of when Jesus says to a woman who came into a meal where he was meeting with some people who were kind of considered good, and they kind of sometimes even looked down on others. And this woman came, and while they were eating, Jesus would have been reclining with his feet, probably in those days smelly feet, and Lord, out away from the table. And these are kind of public meals, and this woman came into this public meal and started washing Jesus' feet. She'd obviously heard some of his teaching before. And she's so moved by just being close to Jesus, she starts weeping. She's got ointment and perfume, and she's pouring it over Jesus' feet. And the shock, the waves that must have gone through that little meal as they were gathering there, and would have been immense. You could have probably almost cut the atmosphere with a it just was there in this building as Jesus allows this woman to wash his feet with her tears and with her hair and this perfume. Because everyone around knew that she was a sinner. That's what it says three times in this passage, that she was a sinner. And we come then to the end of this passage where Jesus is turning to the woman. And this is what he says in verse 48 to 50. He says this, "Then Jesus said to her, 'Your sins are forgiven.'" What wonderful words. Jesus turned to this woman and said, "Your sins are forgiven." And the other guests began to say amongst themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" But Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Go in peace." Those are the few verses I want us to look at this morning. I'm just going to pray right now that God would help each one of us get something out of these verses. So, Lord, please open our hearts and our eyes to what it means to be forgiven. Speak to us, Lord, I pray. Help me now. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a Spanish story of a father and a son who had become estranged, and the son actually ran away. And the father longed to find him and look for him and searched for him all over the place. And eventually he decided to put an ad in a Madrid newspaper. And the ad simply read this. It said, "Dear Paco, meet me in front of this newspaper office at noon on Saturday. All is forgiven. I love you, your father." Well, on Saturday, 800 Pacos showed up looking for forgiveness and love from their fathers. And I've mentioned that story at times before, but I just love reading it because it reminds us how wonderful it is to be forgiven and reconnected to someone special. How wonderful it is to be forgiven. And really, in these few moments, I just want us to think about what it is to be forgiven, what it is to be even someone who knows your need of forgiveness. So the first thing I want us to look at this morning is just simply this, that there is forgiveness for sinners. There's forgiveness for sinners. As I said, this story is about a woman who knew she was a sinner. In fact, everyone around knew she was a sinner. And as you've heard, we're a church which don't mind admitting we're sinners. That's the first question I asked everyone who got baptized. I said, "You admit you're a sinner in need of God's forgiveness." And they all said yes. And I would admit the same. And you might be here and have come tentatively because you've thought, "Well, I don't know if I'm good enough for church or if this is going to be the place for me." But I tell you it is. This is a place where we're not looking to judge anyone. This is a place, as I invited one of my colleagues from the squash club, and he organizes hen nights, and I said, oh, we've got a great, he said, how's your parish going? And I said, well, it's kind of like, we call it kind of congregation, but I said, it's going well, we've got a big celebration Sunday this Sunday. And I said, you'd be very welcome to come. And he said, what, do they allow people like me in church these days? And I said, absolutely. Absolutely. Everyone. Come and hear. This is a message for everyone here today, everyone in our city. This is a message. And church, I want to encourage just Holland Road as regulars. Yeah, we've got the building fixed. Remember, it's not about the building. But it's about the people. And I long for this place, whatever it looks like, to be a place where we welcome in people from our city who are looking for grace and love and forgiveness. I long for this to be a place where we remember again how wonderful forgiveness is, and we go out and tell people there's a message of forgiveness. Because this verse, verse 48, it says this, your sins are forgiven. There is forgiveness for sinners. And you might be thinking, well, what is sin? What is this word? And what's the problem with sin? Well, let me say, sin is actually a word from archery. Don't know if any of you have seen any archery. Maybe, do they have archery in the Olympics? I didn't get a chance. They do, getting some nods. Someone was obviously, some British athlete was honestly in it. But in archery, if you fire an arrow and it doesn't hit its mark, you say it sins. It drops down. It isn't all it's meant to be. And us as people, God made us, and he made us to be loving and kind and compassionate and good and caring for one another. But you know what? All of us here at times, and everyone in our city, and myself included, you know, we have times when we're not like that. Where we fall short of what God made us to be. Where we're selfish and proud. Where there's lust and envy and greed, even hatred, drunkenness, where we speak not words of encouragement but foul words. That is sin. And sin is a problem because sin damages our relationships. We know that. It damages our relationships with each other. We all know that. It damages even things inside of ourselves, our relationship with ourselves. We get tied up with guilt and anxiety and things that trouble us and stresses. But it damages, most important of all, our relationship with God. So sin's a problem. Sin is a problem. But the wonderful thing is that there is forgiveness of sin. In fact, earlier in this passage, in verse 41 and 42... Jesus compared sin to like having a debt. Now, we know about debt in our culture, particularly in this credit crunch time. And I tell you what, if someone came to you and said, your debt has been canceled, how do you feel? Every bit of it. I've paid it, they've said. Maybe it's your mortgage. Maybe it's your credit card debt. Maybe it's some other loan you've got. They just came to you and said, it's done, paid for. Just how do you feel? And that'd be a wonderful feeling. And that's how Jesus chooses to describe what forgiveness is like. It's like debt paid for. Gone completely. And the thing is, once debt has been paid for, it's not like it's still there. You're not in debt anymore. It's been done. It's been covered. It's been finished. If you like, it's a bit like baptism's a picture of being identified with Christ, but also a picture, if you like, of being washed. And when you wash your hands, you've got dirt on your hands. I've got some paint here. And my little daughter was painting this morning, and I suddenly had this idea. If you've got paint on your hands, here you go, black paint, yuck. But if you can wash it out, it goes. And this is a great thing here because there's water in there. There we go. It's just gone. And water washes away completely. Now, is there a stain there anymore? If I had more time, I'd wash it cleaner. But it's gone. And forgiveness is like that. Forgiveness is like that. Forgiveness washes completely. Or like the debt is cancelled completely. And so those things that me and you and those who were baptized, that all of us have done, of which we wish we hadn't done, of which we know have offended God or damaged relationships with other people, forgiveness is having those things dealt with, washed, cancelled, finished. God says in his word, where these things have been forgiven, I remember them no more. They've been forgotten. That is amazing truth. There is forgiveness for sinners. In fact, one lady, someone who was kind of humanist and novelist, she once said this. She said, "What I envy most about you Christians," she said this on television, "is your forgiveness. I have nobody to forgive me." And that's the point, isn't it? The point is that actually, if you define forgiveness, we need someone to forgive us. In fact, we need someone who can forgive all of the things we've done wrong, because our sins in different ways, you'd think, affect different people. But there is forgiveness for sinners because, here's the second point, the last point, because there is someone who forgives you. There is someone who came to forgive you. And that someone is Jesus Christ. Look with me here again at these verses. "Your sins are forgiven," the other guests began to say among themselves. "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Who is this? Only God can forgive sins. He's the one who's been offended by all of our sins, no matter who they've been to. So only God is the one who can forgive all our sins. And they're shocked by it. As shocked as they were at the beginning of the chapter when he healed someone. As shocked as they were in the middle of the chapter of chapter 7 when Jesus rose someone from the dead. Because Jesus has authority over sickness. He has authority over death. He gives eternal life to those who believe in him. And he has authority over sin to forgive it. Anyone's sin here today, who is this who even forgives sins? Jesus is no ordinary person. He is God come to earth. Possibly one of the most famous verses in the Bible says this, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." Yeah, that's you and me and Brighton and everywhere else. "God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son," that's Jesus, "that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved you that he gave his son, gave him to die on a cross. To die to take away my sin and Simone's sin and Tara's sin and June and Ivy and Gordon and Andrew's. Died to take away our sin. One of Jesus' followers who probably was even here at this meal says this, Peter says, "For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous to bring you to God. The perfect one, Jesus, for the imperfect one, me, to bring me to God." So you might say, well, David, how? How do I then receive this forgiveness? How do I discover that I can have my sins washed away? How do I get to that place, that point? Well, think about this woman. This woman needed to admit she was a sinner. She needed to admit that she needed help. And whoever you are this morning, whether you're a visitor or someone regularly, we all need help. And maybe there's some here who, for the first time, you need to admit you're a sinner in need of God's help. That's a great place to start with things with God, to come and say, like they did in their stories when I asked them questions, admitting, yeah, I need forgiving. But I just want to pause and say as well, many who come here regularly, or if you're a Christian already, I think oftentimes we don't admit we need help as well. Sometimes we try and do things in our own strength, and maybe you're worried about the week ahead because you're trying to do it in your own strength. And I would encourage you, come to Jesus and just admit you need his help. Admit you can't do it on your own. So whether you've been around the things of God for many years, or maybe you're just discovering there's an offer here, if you will admit you need to come. And then what do you do? Well, what does the woman do? Look down again in verse 50. Jesus says to her, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Your faith has saved you. Well, notice something here about this. Your faith, it's your faith. It can't be the faith of your parents or your children or your sister or your brother or your friend. Their faith will not save you. It needs to be your faith. Your faith. Your decision. That's why Gordon's baptized and it wasn't just enough for his daughter to be. That's why Ivy was baptized and it wasn't just enough for her daughter to be. It was for themselves they needed to make that decision. Andrew baptized, not just because his parents were baptized. It needs to be his faith, his decision. Your faith has saved you. Faith in what? Well, faith in Jesus, the one who can save, the one who can forgive. Faith that he will do and is who he said he was. That's what faith is. It's taking someone at their word. So if I told you that the service will finish in about 20 minutes, that's, you can decide whether to have faith in that and believe me at my word. And I kind of don't quite know how long the baptism's all going to take, but probably bear out that. But that's what faith is, to take someone at their word. And when Jesus says, I can forgive you if you come to me, faith is taking him at his word. Do you have faith in Jesus? Do you have faith that he can forgive all your sins? Will you come to him? Will you come and receive forgiveness this day? Will you come, and here's the wonderful thing, come and find peace. Peace not only in your own heart, peace that can start touching your other relationships, but peace most wonderfully of all between you and God. And when you have peace there, it starts to affect everything else. Because Jesus says to this woman, your faith has saved you, go in peace. Not go back to sinning. Not go on, I've done that for you, now get out of here. No. Go in peace. Go because something's changed forever. Your sins have been forgiven. Could this be a moment where something changes forever for some people here, that your sins are forgiven because you come to Jesus admitting your need and have faith in him? Well, personally, I've discovered it can be. One day I came to Jesus and said, yeah, Lord, I admit I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness. I came and asked him and said, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want your forgiveness. And I've known what it is to walk in peace. And today I invite you to do something very simple. To talk to God. To come to him. And to say maybe three words that you've said many times before to others, but maybe you've never said to God. Three words are these: sorry. Sorry is an admission of our need. Sorry is an admission that we've sinned, that we've offended God. And I'm going to, in a moment, pray a little prayer that you can echo. And I'm just going to say, sorry, God. Sorry for the ways I've offended you. But also, then, I want to encourage you to say thank you to Jesus. Thank you because he died so that you could be forgiven. And then lastly, why not say to him, please. Please, Jesus, I want to now walk in your peace. I want to follow you. I want to live a different way. Ask him for that gift of his Spirit, which again came up in a number of the stories that he gives to help us follow him. That is how you believe. That is how you receive forgiveness. By talking to God like that and meaning it in your heart. And that is what I'm going to give you an opportunity to do right now. So let's bow our heads. And if you want to receive forgiveness, if you want a fresh start between you and God today, pray and echo this prayer in your heart as I say it. Here goes. Sorry, God. Sorry for the things I've done that have offended you. Sorry for my sin. Why not take a moment just now, and even if specific things come to your mind, say sorry to God for them right now. And then say thank you. Thank you, God, that you died so that I could be forgiven. Thank you for your gift of forgiveness. I receive it. I believe in you. And then say, please. Please, God. Please give me your peace. Please give me your Spirit that I will be able to follow you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name,
Amen.